Please turn with me now to Psalm 73. Take a little break here for just this week from John's Gospel, since we've come to the end of a chapter. And we'll turn to Psalm 73. I'll be looking at verses 25 and 26. Let's hear the entirety of Psalm 73, part of which we've just sung. Truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. May God add his blessing to his word now. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Now, this psalm, we don't know exactly when it was written, but it is one of the psalms of Asaph. And Asaph, as we have read here, was bugged by something that has bugged people for a long time and continues to bother people even today. Why is it, God, that we see the wicked prosper, the godly suffer? We see the wicked getting ahead by one means or another. And Asaph describes these people very vividly. Can't you see them there with their eyes just about to pop out, as he says here? They're about to start out from their faces because their faces are so fat. While the godly are starving, these people are having a grand time. Why, even when it comes to their death, they don't have near as hard of a time as the godly have. And Asaph Many times, perhaps, we have been tempted to say, it's been a waste of time for me to worship God. It's been a waste of time for me to try to live in a godly way. It's all been a waste of time. But then the Holy Spirit, as we have seen here, grabbed hold of him, helping Asaph to say, no, wait a minute. He went into the house of God and then he saw. When he had the proper perspective, suddenly he saw. It's not really this way. For a time, these get their reward. But in a flash, it's over and done with. In a flash, it's all gone. Indeed, they are in slippery places. Can you children remember last winter when we would have ice on the sidewalk? Did any of you accidentally fall down on the ice? Go bonk? I remember one time I was going to visit Mrs. Pockris, but she wasn't Mrs. Pockris yet. I don't remember. I think we were engaged at the time and I went to her parents' house. And I was driving on a back road to get to the Wilson farm and my car slid off the road about a half mile from their house. I had to go and call my father-in-law to come get me, and he came down with his big tractor children, and here he came, and I opened the door of my car to step out, and I put my foot on the icy road, and my foot went voop, and I went kabam, right down on the road. And Mr. Wilson laughed, and he said, well, I guess it was kind of slippery out here. Well, that's how it is for the wicked, who seem to be in good shape. They seem to be strong. They seem to be well fed. They seem to be happy. And all the good things happen to them, even though they don't love Jesus. But Asaph, when he came to the house of God, when he came to think about things in a proper way, saw, no, I shouldn't be wanting what they have because their life is over like this. And all the good things that they have are over like this. Now, children, I want you to think of something. It seems to you right now, a lot of time, that time goes very slowly. You've been a little kid all your life. And you think someday, a long time from now, I'll be an adult. Someday, a long time from now, perhaps I'll be a husband or a wife. Someday, a long time from now, I'll be a mama or a daddy. Sometime, a long, long, long time from now, maybe I'll be a grandpa or a grandma. I'll be an old man. I'll be an old woman. It's a long, long time away. But talk to somebody who's older. And it goes like that. It goes very, very fast once you're old. It seems like your life has gone so very fast. It's very different than when you're a child. And all the many things, if you're a person who does not love Jesus, all the many things that maybe you got by cheating people and stealing from people and being mean to people in other ways, what good is it when your life is near an end and you must face the God who says, what have you done with your life? What will you have left? There's an old saying, children, you can't take it with you. All the things of this life you can't take. They are gone to you forever. What will you do if you have no God? Now Asaph came to see that when he was thinking that it was useless to serve God, when he saw that when he got thinking that he would like what the wicked have, he came to see that when he was thinking that way, he was being stupid. He was being foolish. He was being kind of like some silly animal. That is why he says, I was like a beast before you. And then it is that he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Why are we here? It's a good question for you children. It's a good question for you adults. Is it to please ourselves? Is it to have our own ease, our own wealth, our own health, our own pleasure, our own personal peace? No. That is not our reason. Those are not our reasons for being here. We have one main reason for being here in our life, in our world. It is to glorify God. That is our main reason for being. And when we know this God, we are able to glorify Him willingly and happily. If we do not know Him, He will get His glory on us, but we will not be happy with how it happens. First of all, you will notice that Asaph doesn't look to any false gods obeying the first commandment. Whom have I in heaven but thee? He doesn't call on Molech. He doesn't call on Ishtar. He doesn't call on Baal. He doesn't call on Zeus. He doesn't call on Jupiter. He doesn't call on Allah. He doesn't call on Shiva the Destroyer. He doesn't call upon anyone but Jehovah God. He looks nowhere else for what is truly the source of joy and satisfaction. There is none other in heaven but Jehovah, and that is why he wants none other than the God of the covenant, Jehovah. Children, adults, if you do not know this God, you cannot understand this yet. I hope you shall. But God has made us in order to know Him. God has made us in order to love Him. When we don't know Him, when we don't love Him, we try to find something or someone else to replace the gaping hole in our lives. But it never quite fits. I wonder if any of you children have a pegboard. Little kids often like to play with them. They have pegs and maybe a toy hammer, and they pretend they're putting in nails. And they nail the peg in, and it's kind of fun when you're little, even when you get a little older. Now what if you have a round hole, but all you have are big square pins? You can pound and pound and pound, but all you're going to do is break something. You may break the little hammer handle or its head, or you may break the peg, but the most likely is you're going to break the board, and you will never, ever get that peg to fit the hole. It just won't happen. Well, so it is when people try to fill up the hole in their lives that should be filled by God Himself. They try to fill it with some other false god. But bam, 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 it won't go in. They try to fill it with money and more toys. You children have toys. You know, adults have their toys too. I got a brand new phone on Thursday, and I'm learning how to use it, and it's kind of fun. You know, and I have this MP3 player here, and it's kind of fun. And I got a little survival tool for being out with Boy Scouts, and it's got a little thermometer, and it's got a little compass, and it's got a little light to it, and inside there's a little magnifying glass, and there's a little place in there where I can put things, and there's even a whistle. We have our toys, but people try to make that the meaning of their lives. Their toy might even be a new car, or a new boat, or a new motorcycle. People try to fill their lives with toys, but bam, 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 they will not fit. They may try to fill them with a new husband. They may try to, not replace them, they may try to fill that hole with a new husband, with a new wife, with another child. But bam, 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 it will not fit. They may try to fill that hole with a new job. They may try to fill that hole by moving to a new place. They may try to fill that hole by having a glamorous and wonderful and expensive vacation. But bam, 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 it does not fit. There is nothing, nothing that can fill the emptiness. There is nothing, nothing that can fit. Deep down, the greatest sinner knows he has a hole and knows it must be filled somehow. He's got a great big hole in his life. But he does not want God. And he will try to fill it with all kinds of other things, but it never works. Only God, Jehovah God, only God in Jesus Christ can fill that hole. Nothing in heaven can. Nothing on earth can. Now, does this mean that it's bad to have our toys? No, not necessarily. Does it mean it's bad, it is wicked to be rich? No, not necessarily. Does it mean it is wrong to have a new car? Or of it, in and of itself, to go on this nice vacation, or to get married, or to have children, or any of these things I've mentioned? No, I'm not saying that. These are often great blessings from God. But it is only as they are given by Him, and it is only when you have that living relation with Him that they're anything. Otherwise, there is nothing that is worth anything if you don't have the covenant relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. On the other hand, if you're poor, if you have hardly anything, but you have Jesus, you have everything. We can go forward from Psalm 73 well into the New Testament to Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Now, adults, I think you understand that, but just to make it clear to you children, Paul gave up being famous. Paul gave up being popular. Paul gave up a lot of money. Paul gave up having a home. Paul gave up almost, well, ultimately, even his own life. Why? Why would he do this? Because he found something. Well, no, I shouldn't put it that way. He found someone far more valuable. He found Jesus. He found Jesus. Anything at all is worth everything when we know Jesus is with us. Well, how can we know this God? How can we know Him? Well, first of all, in Jesus, He tells us to come to Him, such as we saw in the previous worship service. Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Is sin getting to be a heavy burden? Are you feeling that your guilt is a very, very heavy thing? Are you afraid of how God will judge you in your sin? Jesus says if you're feeling this way, you shouldn't run away from Him. You should come to Him. That's what He says. Come to me. Desire Him then more and more, and throw away everything that is in the way. If you wanted something really badly, wouldn't you get stuff out of the way to get at it? Children, when I was a kid, there was this show every once in a while for people who would win a contest, and they were given like 2 minutes to go through a grocery store and grab everything they could, and everything before the time ran out that they could jam into a cart, they could keep and wouldn't have to pay for it. And let me tell you, they got people out of the way so they could get what they wanted. Well, get out of the way that which is in the way of your loving Jesus. It may be something that's okay in and of itself, but get rid of it if it is in the way of your knowing and loving Jesus. It might be something that's very bad in itself, something that is sinful. You might like it a whole bunch, but get it out of the way. Throw aside all things that hinder you, that are in your way, especially sin, as we read in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and get rid of anything else that may rival Jesus Christ. You know, there was a time when Jesus' mother and brothers tried to come to Him. In Matthew 12, verse 46 and following. But you see, Jesus said, you're to throw aside all that. You are to love me even more, children, He says, than your father or your mother. You are to love me more than any other person. Or think of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 30. The rich young ruler thought that he wanted to love Jesus. He thought he wanted to serve Jesus. And Jesus went through a bunch of commands, and in everything, the rich young ruler was checking off saying, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. And Jesus finally got him with one saying, give away all your money, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. Well, here he touched on what the rich young ruler loved more than Jesus. He loved his money more than he loved Jesus. Jesus' command there was not for everybody to get rid of all their money and all their things. It was to this man, because he loved them more than Jesus. And if he was going to know Jesus, he had to get rid of this that was, for then, his God. Did he ever do so? We don't know. We don't know. We do know that right at the time, the rich young ruler, instead of following Jesus, went away, sadly. Because he just couldn't give up his money. He just couldn't give up his things to know, love, and be with Jesus. How sad. Because the time would come, even if he got to be a very rich old ruler, he would die. And then what would happen? Then what would happen? I heard a story. This is a false story, and it's not supposed to be blasphemous in any way, about someone who was told he could take what he wanted to heaven. And he was a rich guy, so he took all kinds of gold. And when he got to heaven, he was asked, how come you brought street paving material? Like concrete. How come you brought chunks of blacktop? Because the streets in heaven are made out of gold. It's nothing. It's just stuff you walk on, like on the street. No, friends. We must have none in heaven or earth to be eternally, and in this life, happy. We must have God in Jesus Christ. Well, that's what Asaph goes on to say in verse 26. In verse 25 he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. In verse 26, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion or inheritance forever. A time comes for all of us when our heart and our flesh do fail. Now, children, God willing, it is a long, long time before you have to die. And I hope you will be old people then. But the flesh must fail unless Jesus comes before that. For we read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. All the so-called faith healers of the world can't get around this. Just a year ago, December, I watched in a hospital room as my daddy's heart failed. I watched the little lines get more and more goofy and flatter and flatter. And finally, it just stopped. And my dad died. That must happen to you. That is what will happen to you someday. Maybe it won't be in a hospital bed. Maybe it will be in an accident. Maybe it will be in your own home. Maybe it will be, as we heard about this Mrs. Stewart, far away from home. We just don't know. If you're in Jesus, it's going to be very difficult for your family. But for you, what a happy thing it will be. Because you will get to be with Jesus. Our heart and flesh fail. Sometimes they don't literally so, but we feel like it because we're overcome with fear or despair. But Jesus is our rock. God is the strength or the rock of my heart. We sing about that from Psalm 40 sometimes. He took me from the fearful pit, from out the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, establishing my way. It may be, friends, that to follow Jesus, we have to give up a lot. People who live, for example, in Mohammedan lands, if they come to Jesus, they may actually lose their lives. People will kill them for loving Jesus. But though we lose much in this world, what we get is far, far better. Some of you children understand how money works. If I were to say to Ethan, for example, well, let's say Sarah. If I were to say to Sarah, how about you give me a quarter? Or give me a dollar. Now, do you have very much money? Probably not. And a dollar is a lot of money for you. And maybe you wouldn't want to give me a dollar bill. But if I said, I'll give you a $100 bill if you give me just one, you think you would do that? You think you'd trade me? Sure you would. Sure you would. Give me your pony. But I love my pony. Yes, but I'll give you a beautiful horse, a full-size horse. Would you trade me? Sure you would. Sure you would. Well, this is a far better thing than this. If we give up what Jesus calls us to, He gives us far, far more. What do we lose? What do we lose? Why, that which we must anyway. We shall never keep what we have in this world forever. We must lose it. But if we have God for our portion, if we have God for our inheritance, as we also sometimes sing from Psalm 16, verse 5, why, we have that forever. Forever and ever. Like the Levites of old, God is our portion. This is an inheritance that cannot perish, cannot be stolen, cannot be eaten up by moths or other bugs, and cannot rust away, as Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Now let me ask you, do you desire God above all? I mean, most of the time anyway. Is that your normal thing? Do you desire God above all and seek His glory? Well, if you're a Christian, that's talking about you. If you're a believer, whatever you have in this life or whatever you might be wanting in this life, you say when you ask for it, if it be your will, Father. Just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And do you hate sin? Do you want to get rid of it altogether? Do you want in its place God and Jesus Christ as your all? Well, that's real and true repentance, friends. Then believe on Him. Ask Him to save you from your sin. Take Him as your portion and your inheritance. That is saving faith. And then you will find that what you've given up is really not such a big deal. Because what you have gained is everything. If you do not know Jesus, ask anyone here. I asked Sarah, would you trade me a dollar for $100? Sure, she says. Would you trade me $100 for just $1 back? Of course not. If I'd given you the $100, if I'd say, are you sure you want it? Don't you want me to take it away from you? You'd say, no, no. Well, if you're not a believer, ask anyone here. Would they rather trade Jesus for all the money in the world? No. No. Would they rather trade Jesus for a whole big stable of horses? No. No, never. Would they trade Jesus for a whole huge multi-bay garage of new cars? No, never. Would they trade Jesus for having thousands of friends and being very popular? Oh, no. No. All of these are far stupider than wanting to trade a $100 bill for a $1 bill. If you don't know Jesus, just ask anybody. Would you rather give up Jesus and have something else? No. No, they would say, He is my portion. He is my inheritance. He is all that I need. And He is the one whom most I love. God is my portion. And I want to keep that forever. Well, may it be that no person here, child or adult, will put their hope and their love upon someone else supposedly in the heavens, or upon anything here on earth. May God and Jesus Christ be your portion forever and evermore. Amen. We'll sing again now from Psalm 73, this time using Part C. I don't think any of you children remember Mr. Keyes, Mrs. Keyes' husband. But this was one of his favorites. And though you never knew him, I did, and I miss him an awful lot. So does Mrs. Keyes, so does, well, for all of you children, your Aunt Jo, because that was her dad. But as we think of this, Mr. Keyes loved this so much for good reason. It's for what it says. And the verses that we've been looking at are right here in this portion of Psalm 73. For whom have I in heaven but thee? None else on earth I long to know. My flesh may faint and weary be. My heart may fail and heavy grow. With strength doth God my heart restore. He is my portion evermore. Well, let's stand to sing this, and then we will receive God's blessing. Please rise.